Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Renee's Heart to Heart. This is Renee, and I'm glad you came by this morning. I did a little bit of research early this morning. If you listened to the show yesterday, you know that Shelley is going to talk today about the extinction of different kinds of elephants. So when she brought that up, I thought, you know, every now and then you hear, like, out of the blue, you'd be watching a program, especially on the Animal Channel or something, and they'll talk about different animals that are becoming less and less. The other thing that I think is surprising to know, if you don't know, if you don't pay attention to it, the different types of elephants, the different types of tigers, the different types of even fish. I mean, my goodness, fish are like, once you delve into that arena, or shall I say dive into that arena, you'll be shocked to see how many different species of fish. You know, like a catfish, there's more than one kind of catfish. There's more than one kind of dolphin. There's more than one kind of shark, all of the above. And it's the same in the animal kingdom. It's, you know, it's kind of like us human beings, you know. There's the brewer family, but we're all different kinds of brewers. So I found it interesting when I got on a couple different sites that talk about what's going on in the world of animals and how many animals are approaching extinction. And sometimes, apparently, there's not much that can be done about that. So I'm hoping Shelley can help us with some of that information and help us understand it a little bit. So I'm going to bring her in. Good morning, Shell.
Well, good morning, Rainey.
How you doing, honey?
Doing pretty good. I'm pretty good. Yeah, that was kind of a rough documentary to watch. The truth is there's a lot that can be done about animals going extinct. And in the vast majority of cases, the reason that species have gone extinct is because of us, because of man, and because of man's greed for what they get from that animal. And they poach it, and they hunt it, and they kill it until they've actually wiped out a breed. And that's what's happening with the elephants and the rhinoceros in Africa. There are laws right now that make it illegal to hunt and kill these animals. So poachers go out at night and do it. And they actually had a film clip of it. It was actually quite gruesome, very heart-wrenching, very upsetting. As you see these big, beautiful animals, you know, once they got what they wanted from the animal, they left it writhing in pain and went on about their business. So it's it really is a heart-wrenching story, and that's why they made this documentary, is to get public awareness up so people will refuse to buy the products of elephants and rhinos, which is ivory and anything made from rhino horn.
So, like, what did you see? I mean, you know, can you give us some examples of what that would be? Because a lot of us are dumb when it comes to that. We don't, you know.
Well, ivory is a huge commodity. I mean, all types of trinkets, and you have these ivory horns where you have the full elephant horn that's been carved into something. They're very valuable. They can sell for thousands of one horn can sell for thousands of dollars. And you usually see them in high-end shops that sell. It's a huge commodity in China. That's why this campaign is really in China. China and the United States are the two highest markets for ivory products, because we have people that will pay $5,000 for a single ivory horn that's been carved, or they'll take the ivory horn, they'll take the tusk. Let me get my cats, they're arguing. Or they'll take a single ivory tusk and they'll cut it up into many, many pieces and they'll make jewelry out of it, or they'll make statues. You see a lot of ivory statues,
mm-hmm.
all right?
Mm-hmm.
And the rhino husk is being used medicinally, they say, which is ridiculous because there's actually no substantiation that there's anything in rhino husk that actually does anything for people. This is propaganda. It's something they did. They talked about that a little bit, and I believe that because they've done that with all kinds of things having to do with animals, and I already know that the best remedies are plant-based. So, you know, taking a rhino husk, I'm sorry, what they do to these rhinos is insane, and I'll go into that in a little bit later in the show. But what this, if you go on the, there's a website called Wild Aid, WILDAID, wildaid.org, or ivoryfree.org. They both take you to the same website, but two different ways to get there. And they have a little film clip on there, and they talk about, you know, the reasons why. But this is the reason why all animals. This gentleman, Yao Ming, who is a very famous Chinese basketball star, he's immense. He's like over 7 feet tall. And, you know, you see him in all the film clips, and he's just towering over everybody else in the scene. And it says here, there's no such thing as ethical ivory. The U.S., China, and other countries allow for the legal trade in ivory that dates back to before the 1989 International Ivory Ban. The problem is that it is nearly impossible to tell the difference between pre-ban ivory and illegally poached ivory. The legal ivory trade functions as a legal loophole or laundering mechanism for illegal blood ivory. The only way to save Africa's remaining elephants is to end all ivory trade. So, in other words, to end all ivory purchases. So the purpose of this show is to implore people to stop buying ivory. If people stop buying ivory products, then there won't be a market anymore, and the trade goes away. Now, this gentleman, Yao Ming, who I guess is a huge animal lover, very, very compassionate man. He's this big towering man, and you see half the time he's got tears in his eyes. He's walking up to these little baby elephants and baby rhinos, and very, very compassionate, very, very heartfelt man. And he's talking to all these people in these sanctuaries and rescues that they've created in Kenya. And he had done, they showed a snippet of a documentary and a commercial that he had done over a decade ago, because the same things was happening to sharks. Sharks were starting to go extinct on the shores of China because of shark fin soup, which is a big deal there. And again, poachers, instead of catching the animal and using the flesh, they were literally taking these sharks, cutting their fins off, and throwing them back in the ocean and letting them die.
God.
Because they keep them around without their fins on anymore. And when you come to people that are poachers, they have absolutely no respect for life. They don't care about the suffering of the animal. It's pure exploitation. It's only for the dollar. They will kill other humans to get this trade, which is something they showed on here. Because on one of the film clips, they showed they're actually lawmen, but you see the lawmen going out there, and the rangers, they're called rangers. You see the rangers going out there. Seven rangers have been actually shot and killed by poachers because they fight back. They don't want to be caught. It's like it's like the drug trade here in the United States. It's just as insidious, just as criminal, and just as violent. These poachers work at night under the so that they're not seen easily, and the way they poach these animals is quite vicious. But if the rangers do catch them, they fight back. And so far, seven rangers have been killed.
Wow. Wow.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, that's all right. Go ahead.
What makes this so heart-wrenching, and towards the end of the show, I have a couple of comments to make, like in conclusion, okay? But what happens in a situation like this is that they'll kill the adults because they're the ones that have the tusks or the horns, whether it be the rhino or the elephant. And then they leave, the babies are just left there. Sometimes the babies, because sometimes, you know, Africa's huge, you know, you don't have, there's not roads there. This is the open plains land. So a lot of times these babies aren't found for days and they've expired. So it's heart-wrenching for these rangers and the other workers, the other conservation workers to find them, because sometimes the babies have already succumbed to the elements. Other times they find the babies and they're so disoriented and so traumatized that they show them finding one of the elephant babies. It took four men to net him and, you know, they picked him up in a blanket. He was so traumatized he wasn't even fighting back. He was breathing, but that was about it. It took them days to get this little guy to even react. He was so traumatized, so panicked, that just seeing another human being, he was basically playing dead. They were able to save him, but they brought other babies in that were so traumatized they didn't make it. You know, and you see these little miniature animals, and your heart just goes out to them. And the same thing with the little rhino babies. Same thing happens. But one of the things that got me the most is one of the videos they showed was of the poachers going in, and what they showed the aftermath. You see this huge rhino female writhing around in this massive puddle of blood. And what the poachers did, there's a way of cutting the horn off where it will grow back, because these animals actually do sometimes drop or break their tusk or their horn, and they can grow back. But when you go under what's called the root plate, then you've actually injured the animal. The horn can't grow back. And that's what these poachers do. They will carve out under the root plate, and they, because they don't want to be caught, they don't use guns, they use dart guns. They anesthetize the animal, cut out the horn they want, or rip out the tusks, and then leave the animal there to wake up later and bleed out. And you see these conservationists found this female rhino hours later. She was coming out of anesthesia, writhing around in this huge puddle of blood, and they finally... They were able, I mean, so now they couldn't even get near her because she's a massive, and these things weigh over 1,000 pounds. Massive, massive animal, could barely move. They had done the same thing to her mate. There was the male there also. They ended up re-tranquilizing them so they could help them. The male ended up dying within 3 weeks. He held on for 3 weeks. They had him under intensive care, and he still died because of the trauma, just having his horn cut out that way. The female, against all, and she was actually more injured than he was. They really mutilated her face. She did live, and she is one of, listen to this now, this number, because this shocked me. She is one of only 7 of these white rhinos left in the world. 7. There used to be hundreds of thousands of them in Africa. There are 7 because of the extensive amount of poaching. She is only one of 4 females, which means there's only 4 left that can bear children. And she almost succumbed to what happened. So so they have her in a sanctuary with the other 6. There are other types of rhinos out there, but she is the only white rhino left of that particular breed of rhino. There's only 7 of them in the world. And so they're excited that she survived, and that she seems to at least trust these people now, but it took them a long time to even be able to get near her. I mean, she's just a massive animal, and you can see her face is still pretty badly mutilated, you know. Mm-hmm. But these are heart-wrenching stories. You know, for one thing, to overpoach an animal is one thing, but then to have no regard for the suffering of that animal. If you're going to kill it and take something from it, I still don't like that. But the way the poachers are doing it so that they don't get caught by just causing such intensive suffering, I'm sorry, that sets shockwaves through humanity. We are all connected energetically. I believe that. I believe that on a spiritual level. I believe that on an energetic level. It's based on law of attraction. If any of our listeners understand what law of attraction is all about, you understand that we are all connected by a thread. And when this type of violence permeates the ether, and when you have that kind of suffering being emitted by a large group of sentient beings, okay, elephants and rhinos are sentient beings. They suffer like we do. They feel fear like we do. They feel happiness like we do. And there is such a ripple of fear, violence, and suffering among these animals, it is absolutely impacting the energy of the rest of the world around us and humans. And that's why people like Yao Ming and other performers, Hillary Clinton is now speaking out against this, Harrison Ford, there was a couple other actors who are now running commercials about this. So it is starting to hit the mainstream media, and some heavy hitters are now speaking out against this as well.
Well, it is, I don't know, I don't even really have a word when I think about this. And of course, in years gone by, I've watched movies and I've watched documentaries about this, about elephant tusks, about the rhinoceros horn. The site that I brought up doesn't talk about the particular rhinoceros that you were. They talked about a Javan rhinoceros, which is prevalent in Indonesia and Vietnam, and they're down to fewer than 60. And that's why. Perhaps the planet's rarest large mammal. Its horn is prized by poachers, and its forests are prized by developers. Both could spell doom for the species. So it's the first on the particular list that I pulled up, which was updated in 2014. So, to be honest, Shelley, you and I have had these conversations before about animals, and even though it sickens me, I have to say that we have predators against people in the same fashion, and it's I don't know what's wrong with us. I'm one of those kind of people who always looks for a reason or an excuse, if you will, for why people do some of the horrific things they do, and there are just some horrific things that happen in our world that there is no excuse for. There is no reason for. You remember the old Tarzan movies?
Yeah.
The original Tarzan movies? And they'd talk about Tarzan. That would be sometimes the storyline would be about Tarzan fighting off poachers and him trying to help his friends, the animals, and they would talk about it at length. Then we went through a time, and I can't remember the decade, but I'm going to say 40s, 50s, 60s, in those years, alligators. Now, there were some people who believed that because an alligator or a crocodile is a predator and we should fear them, that anybody who wanted to kill them for whatever reason was okay with everybody. And there were still activists then that said, okay, you may have a point there because they're really multiplying, especially here in Florida, in our Everglades, and they were getting dangerous, and they were coming on to, you know, people's backyards, and that's happening today. So then there was a group of people who stood up and said, okay, but you cannot leave them to suffer. You cannot do something that you think is for mankind and leave alive anything suffering.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, you know, there is a way, I guess, to manage all of these all of these issues without unkindness and without I don't know. This is barbaric.
Well,
really,
the
really barbaric.
You're not going to be able to stop drug trafficking. You're not going to be able to stop human trafficking. You're not going to be able to stop poaching, and you're not going to be able to stop robberies, thefts, and break-ins as long as there are a market for the products of these things. You're not going to be able to stop child porn. So what has to happen is you can't rail against drug trafficking, poaching. What you have to rail against are the markets, are the people that are buying the product of these, because then that will cause the demise of the act, just like with the shark fin trade. After his campaign, the poaching and sale of shark fin went down by 70%. Now, that is a remarkable response to an ad campaign. That shows the impact that this man has on his own country. He is iconic in his country. He is looked at as a hero because he's a true basketball star. He's a great athlete. He's a man of great integrity and ethics. So the Chinese people, because they interviewed a couple of the people on the street, and he is revered in China. So when he campaigns about something, the major part of the population listen to him. So the trade in China has already been impacted substantially. Now they're moving to the United States through the Animal Planet, through people like Hillary Clinton and Harrison Ford, who are sort of iconic in our country. And there were some other actors, Norton, I forgot his first name. He was in some pretty dramatic movie. I can't think of his first name.
Oh, I know who you mean. Yeah. I can't think of his first name either.
Yeah, I mean, he played that where he murdered that Pope in one, murdered the
Yeah. And he was also in one where he was twin brothers.
He's good, awesome. I always think of that movie first, the one with the Richard Gere and him, and he murdered all that. But anyway, that actor. So he's also running
a
commercial.
Pope.
So at any rate, so
Ed Norton, you know, Edward Norton?
Yes, Edward Norton, right. So he's also he also had a commercial on about this. So you can see it's people that are very well known that are railing against the markets for this. But like they said, as long as people are buying it, you can't stop the poachers. They're too stealthful. The Africa plains go for hundreds and hundreds of acres in the wide open. So, you know, and when these rangers go out there, although they're trying and they're having some successes, because these guys go out in the shade of night, because there's so much plains land, it's very difficult to know where the animals are going to be. They actually started using some technology, which I thought was wonderful. They had tagged a couple of the larger females. All elephants, I don't know what a herd of elephants is called, so I just call it a herd. All elephant herds have what's called a matriarch. When the matriarch gets killed, the rest of the herd becomes disorganized and disassembled, and they don't know what to do. It is truly a matriarchal society in the elephant kingdom. And what these poachers do, because the eldest females and males are the ones with the largest tusks, they're killing the matriarchs. And then you have dozens of elephants in the herd that are literally wandering aimlessly, and a lot of them don't know what to do. Both elephants and rhinos teach their young for years. It's not like other species on the planet where, you know, when they're a few months old, they're out on their own. Elephants' children are like human children. They stay with the parent for years while they're learning how to do things in the wild. So in most cases, these babies are under 2 or 3 years old, and they don't know what to do. And even the teenagers amongst the troop, all right, elephants can live past 60, 70 years. I don't know if people realize they generally live that old, okay? And now these elephants are being shot down in their prime while they still have younger elephants that are toddlers in humans or teenagers that really aren't ready to know how to survive yet because they're like human children. You're not going to take a 14-year-old and set him out and get him a job and he's going to be able to take care of himself. Elephants and rhinos are the same, you know. Just because they're this big, massive animal, they don't mature. They mature like human children. So that was something that I found very interesting, heartwarming on one end about nature, but also heart-wrenching about how poachers are just devastating these animals and causing so much fear and suffering. You know, so it takes it to an even heightened level when you realize that these animal babies are being so traumatized because they see what happens. You know, in fact, the one little rhino they found still suckling on his mother the next morning. And they were able to see the little baby rhino. But, I mean, that brought tears to my eyes. And you could see all the people that I didn't see any women in any of these camps. I'm sure there probably are some women. But these are mostly these conservation sanctuary camps are mostly being run by men. Like I said, I didn't see any women. It doesn't mean there aren't any there. But these are rugged men. You can see they're very strong, very compassionate, very adamant. They're very much against ivory trade. They love these animals. And here you see these six rugged men sitting around talking, and they all have tears in their eyes. It was very, very emotionally impacting. So I got a couple of things from this. There is a section of society, and we talk about it on the show, which the only thing that matters to them is greed, is money, is wealth, is whatever they want, whether it's drugs or money or whatever it is, okay? They just want what they want. Then there's another sect of society that is truly connected to other people, connected to nature, has a true reverence for life, and then you have people that kind of fall in the middle, that they would turn a blind eye, like if they want a piece of ivory, they're not there, they're ignorant to what's going on, they're going to say, well, I'm going to buy this ivory because it's pretty, all right, and then if you try to tell them about it, oh, I don't want to know about it, it's just something I want for my dresser, and they don't want to know what's happening because they don't want to have to engage that compassionate side of themselves. They're sort of in the middle. They wouldn't actively hurt an animal, but they don't want to know if an animal is being hurt passively because of their buying choices. So it's important for people to understand that every decision you make does have ripple effects. And you can't live in a bubble, and you can't choose to be ignorant because it might be uncomfortable to be knowledgeable. People have to be willing to be uncomfortable. People have to be willing to know what's really going on if they want to make positive changes in the world. And sometimes that means you're not going to buy something made out of ivory just because it's simply the moral and ethical thing to do. You're not going to buy a product that has rhino horn in it simply because it's the moral and ethical thing to do, you know, regardless of the value. There's a lot of other things out there that have wonderful value. You don't have to own ivory. There's a lot of other beautiful artifacts out there, you know. And people, it's important that people make decisions that go outside themselves, like big picture decisions. Mm-hmm. I said this once before on the show, and I'll say it again, because what impressed me is that I heard somebody else say this when I was a young person, and it's kind of where I went, all right? But the reason I never got into drugs is because at a very early age, you know, we had law officers, you know, police officers come to the school and make lectures and stuff, and they would talk about how drug trafficking was tied to child porn, was tied to murders, violence, gang crime, robbery, the destruction of family values. So, you know, so he's coming in, he's tying it in. And that was the single reason why I chose never to dabble in drugs. Because at 14, 15 years old, I recognized that the drug trade, that my whatever money here was supporting horrifically illegal activities, and I didn't want to be part of it. So, but, you know, a lot of people can't go there. A lot of people can't go that big picture revelation. I was always able to, even as a young child. And I had heard somebody else say, after listening to that lecture, the same thing. They said, well, I'm never going to do drugs because I don't want to support that. And I don't remember who said it, but I remember the comment, and the comment always impacted me. And that's why I was so staunch about it. And every now and then I would make comments to my friends about it, and some of them got it, and they wouldn't talk about it in front of me because they knew how much I disapproved of dabbling in drugs. Not so much for what it would do to you, but because of the industry that you're supporting. And that was always enough to keep me away from it. And I think that that's something that I don't hear said a lot. I don't hear a lot of people saying, don't do drugs. They talk about what it's going to do to you. But why don't we teach kids not to get into drugs because of the industries that they're supporting? Do you realize how much money in drug trafficking goes to child porn? You know, do you realize how many murders happen every year because of drugs? You know, this is what made me not want to get involved. And it's the same thing with Ivory. There has to be a way of instilling more compassion, more like my, what I do can touch thousands of people that I don't even know on the other side of the world. And once people start realizing that, then they'll start making better choices. This gentleman, Yao Ming, talks about that and talks about how our choices aren't personal, that they can affect the world. Like if people in the United States are buying ivory, it's affecting life on the other side of the world in Kenya, Africa. And it's really important that people start realizing we are all connected. We are absolutely all connected.
Well, I think that a lot of people do get that. My impression of when I talk to people about why they choose not to get involved in specific things is always because they think of themselves as singular. They think of themselves in a big picture. When they try to see a big picture, they see themselves too small. They see themselves as not dynamic enough, not important enough, not enough money. There's another one you hear a lot. I don't have enough money to get involved in this. I'm struggling in my own right. So I do think that education, documentaries like the one that you watched, some of the websites that I found today, would open a lot of people's eyes. But there's always, you see this all the time, you see somebody, a movie star, let's take a movie star, and they're out there and they stand up for something because their agent has told them that they have to start taking part in world issues, right? So they're out there and they decide that they're going to talk about wearing leather, for instance. And their thought process doesn't go deep enough to say, I'm never going to wear leather again, to not wearing a fur coat. I mean, I see it all the time. It always tickles me because I think to myself, you know, they're somebody else has told them that this is what they need to do. This is they need to get involved in some of these issues. But they don't go deep enough, Shell. They just really don't go deep enough.
I've actually seen that happen because the performers that I know that have written articles for and done commercials for PETA, they are actually vegetarians. There's a lot of actors and actresses and sports figures and celebrities that are vegetarian and vegan. They don't publicize it, but there's all kinds of information on the PETA site of who does what, and they really don't wear leather and they really don't wear fur. If there's a performer that's done that, well, then shame on them if they got involved in a cause that they really weren't enamored by. But most of the people, most of the celebrities that I know, like Woody Harrelson and the Betty White and a couple of the other ones, that beautiful little blonde actress. I'm drawing a blank on some of the names. I can see them. But there's some very iconic performers, the Baldwins, you know, Alec Baldwin. These people really don't wear furs or leather. They're really against it. And, you know, so I don't know that I've ever seen a celebrity that said don't wear leather and then wore fur. If that happened, that's inexcusable. But for the most part, the heavy hitters that I've seen, this really is their lifestyle, and they really are against these things. And I agree with you, though, that somebody should not get involved in a cause if they don't understand what the cause is all about, because they can do more harm than good, because they come across insincere and contradictory. So absolutely, you should not get involved. Nobody should get involved in a cause if they don't know what the cause is all about. But in this particular case, on this particular website, ivoryfree.org or wildaid.org, you can donate. But if you're not in a position to donate, then they're just asking you to educate people. That costs nothing. It costs nothing to say, hey, I'm not buying ivory anymore. I can't believe how they poach these animals, and the animals are going to be extinct if people don't stop buying ivory. I'm not buying ivory anymore. And just being adamant about it and starting to educate, you know, friends and family, that costs nothing. And to choose not to buy ivory on your own, is that costs you nothing. You know, if you had that kind of money and you want to get something for your home, pick something that's not made out of ivory. There's all kinds of beautiful things made out of marble and ceramic and wood. And, you know, you don't have to buy things made out of ivory. It's inexcusable that the more and more this gets known, that anybody that's heard this story would still choose to buy something that's made out of ivory.
Well, again, I didn't mean to insinuate that all celebrities would do that. I'm aware of people like Woody Harrelson and the Baldwin brothers and, of course, Betty White for years and years and years, Doris Day for years and years and years. But I happen to know somebody who's pretty prominent in the field of veganism and vegetarianism and all of those kind of things, although the production of their belief doesn't, you know, is more surrounded around the health benefits of not eating meat and things like that. And they purchased an entire room full of leather furniture. So,
yeah.
Again, it is about, you know, seeing a big picture, not just a little picture. And I'm not finding fault in people that do that. I don't think their hearts are in the wrong place. I just think that they don't educate themselves enough to understand how far-reaching the death of these majestic animals that walk in our world. I just don't. I think if you hit them with it at face value, they want to make a difference. But they don't, most people don't feel like they have time to educate themselves and to understand the full effect of what's going on. I think probably there are people that are going to listen to this show, if they're not listening now, will listen later, and have never given a thought. They feel like they're animal lovers because they love their cat and their dog and their gerbil and their fish. They love them. They're like family members. Right? But they have no idea that some parts of the world, somebody takes a majestic elephant, cuts its tusks out of its face, leaves it with a younger elephant to die in the middle of some jungle. A lot of people don't even go there, Shel. They don't even go there. And even if they did, they wouldn't have all of the perception that was produced, obviously, in this documentary. A lot of people can't even watch that stuff. So,
yeah.
But it's the same.
I got to be honest. I had a hard time watching it, and I did not know this about ivory. I did not know this at all. You know, it's just something that it was. I haven't seen advertisements about it. You know, I've heard of other types of poaching. I remember when the whole shark fin thing was in the news. I remember that, so I was happy to see. And I sort of remembered him from that, even though this was over a decade ago. And I was pleased to see that it had such a major impact on that industry and that it's so much smaller. They still have shark fin soup, but it's, you know, for an industry to reduce 70% in size is substantial. And So then a lot of the poaching has stopped because of it, you know. But I was not aware of that, and that's why I was watching a different show on Animal Planet. When I saw these ads, the commercial grabbed me, and I was like, oh, my God, I had no idea. Elephants are going to be extinct in 10 years. How can that happen? How can we allow that to happen? We're doing it to them. How can we as humans allow a majestic creature like that, a gentle giant, you know, elephants and rhinos are vegetarian. I don't know if people know that. They don't eat meat. They don't kill other animals. They live off the land. These big, massive animals. This is one of the things that, you know, a lot of vegetarians use when people say, well, where do you get your protein from? Well, where does a massive elephant and rhino get their protein from? It's in green leafy vegetables. That's where protein is generated from in the body. So they don't need anything more than that. These are herbivores. These are gentle giants. They're beautiful creatures. And they were talking to some of the African tribes that live alongside some of these plains land, and they miss the elephants. They said that they grew up as children, and they would see literally herds of hundreds of elephants going by. They would never stampede. They would never come in and destroy anything, but they would watch them going in one direction, and then weeks later they'd be coming back going the other direction, and they would just watch these massive animals. Now they don't see one. They don't see any elephants anymore. And it's like a complete part of their scenery is gone forever because the herds are so small, so thinned out, so spread out. You don't have these herds of 50, 60 elephants anymore. They're dwindled down because a lot of them have lost their matriarchs and they're wandering aimlessly. I mean, the more and more you analyze the story, the sadder it becomes and the more tragic to humans it becomes because these tribes people, this is part of their connectedness. They're very connected to the land. You know, they don't wear business suits. They don't go to a concrete jungle every day up into an office with computers and artificial lights. These are tribes. These are people that live on the land. They're very connected to the earth and to the way, you know, to the other parts of nature. They feel that the wildlife around them is as much their family as their own children. And they're literally watching, because the one man was talking about this, they're literally watching their families being slaughtered in front of them because they're so connected to nature and so connected to the wildlife, which is part of their environment. And it's being taken away from them by poachers.
Well, I one of the things that I really appreciate about everything you've said is that I don't know what they're called. I would think it's probably herds or something along that line. But they're organized by the matriarch, which I love.
Yeah.
At like yep. Home with me, and I think there should be more of that in our world today, or more of a team, more of a team effort. So, I don't think most of your even vegetarians and vegans have given a whole lot of conscious thought to the fact that this is what's going on. I do believe most of the people that we know and we care about would be appalled to hear some of these stories. I do believe that. And I do believe that's true of people in general. But again, it's all about the education and the research that you do to find out what's going on. I had a housekeeping service, and I went into some very, very wealthy homes. And one of them had a locked, a china closet. A big, fancy piece in their formal. The entirety of that was filled with ivory, everything.
Oh.
And I remember looking at it, and I remember saying, do you want me to have, that dusted? I mean, that's got to get, no, nobody's allowed to touch anything in there except my husband or myself. And I was like, okay, and I walked away from it, and I turned around and looked back at it, and I thought, it kind of sickened me, and I didn't know anything about what you told us about today, even though I knew more about it now than I did then, but I still didn't know the extent of, I mean, one of the most important things you said to me today was that they leave the animal to suffer instead of being kind enough to put them to sleep, or I mean, the horrificness of the whole thing is like disgusting to me. But the worst part is leave them to suffer.
Well, keep in mind that ivory trade was legal before 1989, so a lot of this poaching wasn't happening. It's when they realized that the cruelty behind the poaching wasn't happening. They were just killing the animals outright. They went to this latest thing they don't poach during the day anymore. They do this at night so that they don't get caught by the rangers. And now they're not using guns. They're using dart guns so that they don't make any sound. So in case there are rangers nearby, they're not drawn over there. So that's something that's happened recently. So what you were looking at would not have been, just so you know, would not have been poached. It may have been poached because there was still some going on then, but it wouldn't have been poached in the manner that it's happening today. This is something that's new in the last few years as a way to not be found by the rangers. So they're quiet. They're doing it stealthily, and it's unconscionable.
Well, and I agree, and I think, but of course, there's probably another side to this story, too. I mean, from my Libran point of view, I mean, we're talking about people who are in survival mode as well. But again, even poaching, even stealing the ivory, even stealing the horn of the rhinoceros, even some of the other things that they do, in survival mode, part of me can like, okay, you know, but can't we think of something else? But what is still unforgivable is there's no mercy. So that's what bothers me.
Like
most.
I said, I don't think it's any different than the drug trade. Than the men who live in these houses with attack dogs and guards out in the front. It's basically just another type of trafficking, whether it's human trafficking, drug trafficking, or ivory trafficking. It falls into that violent purview where they will do anything to market their product. There is no excuse for it. Anybody that gets involved in this type of trade is a vicious human being. These people have zero compassion for life. And when you have that type of lack of compassion, it spills over into your compassion towards human beings. You can't have that much disdain for life, that much lack of compassion, and then be able to turn it on when you're dealing with a human being, which is proven by the fact that they've killed 7 rangers so far, just this year alone. That's a shocking number, you know. And you see that in drug trafficking and in human trafficking, that the law enforcement people are really taking their lives in their hands because they will kill a law enforcement. They literally have no respect for life. It says here, ivory-free is conflict-free. African insurgent and terrorist groups have gotten into the poaching business, and Blood Ivory is thought to be funding the operations of Joseph Kony Lord's Resistance Army. Now, this is also shocking. This is where a lot of the money is going. This is another reason people should stay away from ivory. Okay? This is a resistance army, Boko Haram and the Al-Qaeda affiliate Al-Shabaab. In a continent plagued by history of conflict, the ivory trade is allowing these gangs and terrorist organizations to continue destabilizing governments and civil society. So they're doing the poaching, selling it to fund these terrorist groups. That is frightening, and that's one of the reasons they're so vicious, okay? When it leaves Africa, Blood Ivory makes its way through the international black market with the help of the same organized crime networks that traffic drugs and sex workers. So they're talking about human trafficking when they say sex workers. In some cases, corrupt government officials and custom agents are on the take. If you live ivory-free, you will help save Africa's elephants and take a stand against violence, criminal actions, and corruption, government corruption. So there's a much bigger picture here, and 9 times out of 10, there always is a bigger picture. And people get frustrated, and they say, oh, conspiracy theories, I don't want to hear this, I don't want to hear that. But that is the reality of our world. There is a lot of corruption in government.
There is both in the U.S. and abroad, all right? And your choices, what you will allow yourself, excuse me, to be educated against, and the different choices you make is what can actually turn the tide to bringing about ethical behavior. You know, if these government officials start feeling too much heat, they're going to back off. You know, they're going to take a different stance. They're not going to get involved anymore. You know, but while they're getting away with it left and right and getting so much money, because there's no public upheaval, you know, they're gonna skate on that ice as long as they can until somebody starts noticing they're doing something wrong, and then they're gonna get off. And that's kind of what's happening here. But when you realize that all these terrorist groups are being funded by Ivory, then it makes it even a bigger problem. So now not only are we creating the extinction of a beautiful, beautiful animal, but simultaneously that's bad enough, but now the money that is being gotten, those ill-gotten gains, are now funding three different heavy-hitting terrorist groups that are looking to destabilize governments and civil societies.
Yeah, it's certainly a major stew cooking on the top of the stove. That's for certain. And I think that eventually some means will be derived to be able to put this all in a better place, only because Shelley and I both kind of believe that we're moving into a time of a awakening. More of a ability to see the whole world instead of either wearing blinders or rose-colored glasses. And it is about being aware. It is about not pretending that something isn't happening because you don't like it. It is about paying attention. And this goes with the unkindness to people, to animals, to our world. In general, to everything that we see around us. We see things that make us feel, kind of indignant. This week we talked about homelessness, and we talked about all the empty buildings. And what is everybody thinking when there's empty buildings and people with no roof over their head? What are they thinking? I mean, there has to be a way to put those two things together. And I believe in the years to come, I hope in my lifetime, I see more of an awareness about what the issue is. It shouldn't...
Well, I highly recommend a book, and then I want to make another comment. I highly recommend a book called Go Time, G-O-T-I-M-E, Go Time. It's by the stars of A&E's Flipping Vegas. Just to touch on what you just said, Scott and Amy Yancey. I'm actually reading this book right now from the real estate course I just took, and there's a lot of very, very creative ways to work with real estate to do exactly what you're talking about. And one of the things in our course is that they're actually trying to rehab communities. They're going into communities that are becoming lower valued because there's a lot of rundown houses, foreclosures that are sitting for years, and little by little they're buying these houses, rehabbing them, and turning them into rental properties. A lot of the people can afford rent but can't afford to buy, but then during the time that the people are renting the properties, they have them go through what's called a credit repair activities so that at the end of 3 years they might be in a position to buy the house. This is one of the programs in here, and they teach us how to, you know, you have a lot of people who want to own homes, but their credit is down the toilet. Believe it or not, in many cases, it only takes 3 years to repair your credit, and they talk about that. So I highly recommend Go Time. I highly recommend all the education through the Yancey Corporation. I implore people to investigate that because there are solutions. I didn't know there was a solution. I'm excited that I'm getting involved in this, and we'll have to do a show on it one day. But I just want to put a little hope out there that there are solutions, but it's not going to come from the government. I'm telling you right now, the solutions are not going to come from the government. we as the American people are very resourceful, and we're just going to have to take the reins and start fixing things around us that we see. Remember that Ho'oponopono I talked about, the Hawaiian, where everything that's in your purview becomes your responsibility, and more, that's what things are looking like to me. If it comes in front of you, deal with it somehow. Even if it's just filling out a pledge, that's the other thing I wanted to mention, and I know we're almost out of time, but on this website, ivoryfree.org and wildaid.org, there's a little pledge here. I'm just going to read it. It's only a few lines, but this costs no money. All it is to read this, send the pledge in, and then they'll send you more information about this. But it says, please take this pledge. I pledge to join with others around the globe to never buy or accept ivory. I pledge to spread the word to save Africa's remaining elephants. I pledge to support government actions to end the ivory trade. I pledge to be part of the solution. I pledge to live ivory free. And that's it. And then you sign it. You enter your name and your address or your email, and then at the end it says, I agree to receive more information from Wild Aid and Ivory Free, and obviously I'm going to do this because I do want to get more information on it. And that's it. I mean, that's a simple thing. Even if you can't make a donation, you can sign this pledge, because the more signatures they can get, the more they can influence the government to make changes. You know, if they get millions of signatures, then the government's going to know that, hey, there's people watching this. We better start getting involved. So the pledges and things like this are very, very powerful. So I'm going to fill this out today, and I urge anybody else listening to go on and literally take 30 seconds to fill it out and be supportive of this very, very worthwhile campaign right now.
Well, and I think those are that's a good suggestion for everybody, especially if you'd like to be a part of something that's bigger than yourself. And I think it's important for all of us to have a few things that we feel that way about. Otherwise, we become way too self-centered. So I do want to say, though, before we're out of time, I would like to have a conversation about what's going on with Bill Cosby. And even though a lot of times stuff like that is going on in the outside world and we don't go there because, I just don't feel like there's anything we can do about it. For whatever reasons, this really bothers me. I don't know whether it's true or not. I really don't. I don't know that we would ever know whether it's really true. But what bothers me is, why have all these people waited all these years, although there were things done, I guess, like 30 years ago. So now here's an old guy who's brought us lots of laughter and good times, and everybody thought he was one of the good guys, and now he's being totally defamed. And part of me wants him to be punished if he really did all those things. I mean, I feel like everybody else does. But I also see the ramifications of all this kind of poison. What if it's not true, everybody? What if it's not true? And what if this ruins the last 20 years of somebody's life who's kind of, gone out there and been one of the happy times in most of our lives? I don't know. I have mixed emotions. I want to hear what everybody else thinks. If you believe it, know why. If you don't believe it, I'd like to know why. If you want to contact me on my Facebook page, or if you want to talk to me in person, you are all welcome to do that. But I would like to hear how everybody really feels about it, because it's disheartening for me, so completely disheartening. And there's so many villains out there that are in-your-face villains that, I don't know, something about this story is just really, really bothering me.
Yeah. I'll do a little research today and see what I think about it. Because, like I said, I haven't heard anything recently, but I don't really watch the news. But I remember over a decade ago I started hearing some rumblings about him, and I kind of just ignored it because I thought it was nonsense. But if it's railing again, I'll see if I can do a little research on that today as well.
Yeah. Okay, so everybody go out and have a great day. There was there's a lot of news on today that isn't very nice. So let's kind of look at it and move on to better things. And like Shelley said, if it's in your purview, you should be doing something about it. But I don't think purview necessarily means what we see on TV, just as a side note.
Right.
But everybody have a great day. And it's going to be warmer here in South Florida today, which is always nice. The sun is shining through my office window. Looks like it's going to be a great day. So God bless everybody. Have a good one. We'll be back tomorrow. Bye-bye.